All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Free For All. I'm your host, Big John. And if you're into drama in libertarian circles, we've got plenty of that on this episode. I've got as my guest tonight, someone that if you're a libertarian or libertarian interested or adjacent on Twitter, on X rather, you've probably either been following this person or you've certainly heard of this person. My guest tonight is Karen Ann Harlos. She is the secretary of the Libertarian Party. So let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But tonight, when she's going to be giving us her opinions and her comments on the topics we have to talk about tonight, she will be speaking only for herself. And she is not representing the LNC or the LP in any way. So I just wanted to make that clear so there's no confusion about anything that might be said over the course of this episode. So everyone, please say hello to Karen Ann. Karen Ann, welcome to Free For All.
I really appreciate it. And it's kind of like my Twitter. My Twitter is also personal, which I put right up at the top. Yes. My opinions are my own and do not necessarily reflect those of the Libertarian Party. I like my freedom.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll give you a little anecdote. In my local LP local LP party here, they actually kind of tried to make me their media liaison. And I turned it down because I said, I really want to be able to be free to say what I want. So
yeah,
I certainly understand where you're coming from. And by the way, I also admire you for being able to compartmentalize and say, you know, these are my thoughts. This is my personal belief. And then these are my duties in my capacity as an official for the Libertarian Party. So I do want to say that to you. And as we were saying before the show started, we've all had bad days and good days on Twitter. And if folks go back on my timeline, I don't delete anything. I have thrown a harsh comment Karen Ann's way on occasion. But as much as I can honestly say, it was never personal. I think she shows through her integrity that she is the same way as well, because she gives as well as she takes and vice versa. So I just want to
I give as good as I get. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So listen, there's no avoiding it. On July 2nd, we had what I thought was a relatively surprise announcement. And I'm going to pull that up here so folks can see that. And it was a tweet from the Libertarian Party of Colorado. That, in essence, said the Libertarian Party of Colorado will place the Kennedy-Shanahan ticket on the Colorado state ballot for president and vice president. This move reflects our commitment to offering voters a choice that transcends the traditional partisan divide and promotes individual liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government. Now, Karen Ann, I know that hit me like out of nowhere. And I'm going to give you a chance to tell me how you reacted and what steps you've taken since that announcement. But let's make it clear for folks. The nominee, as selected by the delegates to the Libertarian National Convention, our ticket is Chase Oliver for president, Mike Termott for vice president. Now, on previous episodes of Free For All, we've gone through the histrionics and the drama. We've had some of the parties involved here. We've interviewed them. We understand sometimes nominating conventions, especially the way the libertarians do it, which is not a primary-based thing, sometimes can get a little dirty, so, you know, backroom deals and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, it was Chase and Mike Termott.
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to ask you, in your opinion, is what LPCO, what they're doing here, what they announced they're trying to do, A, is it legal? And then I'll sort of tee up part B of the question for you.
Okay.
Do you find it ethical?
Well, I can answer the first part first. It's absolutely unethical. And I can expand upon that because some people really, you know, freak out on that. Now, when you say legal, it gets that term gets really weird for me, because one thing, I'm a paralegal by profession. A lot of people don't know that. I've been a paralegal for 35 years. When I tend to use the word legal, I mean within our contractual arrangement. A lot of people, when they use the word legal, tend to mean like, is something criminal? And I don't mean that whatsoever. However, if you're breaking a contract and saying you're going to do something you really have no authority to do, that could get into fraud laws. I know nothing about criminal law. I've never worked criminal law. So anything I ever say, like anything that comes out of my mouth that sounds like, oh my God, is that a crime? I don't know. That's not right. My area. That's not what I'm saying. But they certainly, but what I am and worked on for 35 years is contracts. I've worked on insurance contracts mostly, but my primary experience is as a contract law paralegal. They definitely have broken their contract, which could create civil liability. Mm. Now, as far as ethics, it's the same thing. Libertarians keep their word. They keep contracts. In fact, we believe, you know, in our future, you know, world that we'd like to see, most things would be based upon contract. Why should anyone trust us with any kind of power or authority or government position to try to make us freer when we can't honor our own contracts amongst ourselves? Right. That is what is so both civilly, I think, potentially liable and absolutely unethical from a libertarian point of view. They broke their own bylaws. I know they'll claim they haven't. Let me give you a little bit of my bona fides. I am not speaking from a position of any kind of being a credentialed person. I haven't been hired by anyone, but I am a registered parliamentarian. I am not acting as one in this. I'm acting as a regular member, but like I'm the type of geek who's got Robert's Rules of Order sitting right here.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I'm not the best in it. But I'm not the worst. I know more than the average bear, but there are smarter bears. But what's more my bona fides is I've been working with the Colorado bylaws for about 8 years now. Me and one other person and then somebody a while back are probably the author of 90% of them. Someone telling me what the Colorado bylaws mean is kind of rich, you know, but anyway, they've broken their bylaws and they've broken national bylaws. And bylaws, not just in my opinion, but in the eyes of the law, are a contract between an organization and its membership, creating rights and responsibilities on both sides of the equation. And nobody is forced into it. It's not like government, where you're born here and, you know, you don't do what they say, you're going to be thrown in jail. Nobody has to be part of the Libertarian Party. You don't like the contract, go roll your own. I mean, that's a Colorado-like kind of thing. I guess that was very Colorado of me to say, but
right.
If you don't like it, find a group you like better or start your own. That's what the founders of this party did. Most of them came from what used to be the Young Americans for Freedom, which now exists again, but used to be really big. You're talking about out of the Goldwater era. And most of them were Republicans. They did not like what was going on. So they started their own party.
Right. Exactly. And I wanted to sort of focus on two things you said. There's sort of like the question on whether contracts, if we view bylaws as contractual, voluntary contractual agreements between a state affiliate and the national party.
And its membership.
And its membership, absolutely. That this sort of deciding, the decision by, I am assuming, the leadership of LPCO, is that
yes.
a correct phraseology?
The board of directors.
The board of directors, that violates two sets of bylaws.
Yes.
One is on the national level. Now,
yes.
I'm a bit of a geek, but as I get older, my reading comprehension and words per minute declines. So I did go through the bylaws of the National Party. I think it's Article 5, Sections 4 through 6, that basically say if you're a recognized state affiliate of the LP, you can't endorse or put on your ticket a candidate who is a nominee who is the candidate of another party for the same position,
well,
correct?
Okay, this is where people get hung up, and it's because they don't know Roberts as well as they do. And listen, I could be wrong. I'm not trying to do an argument via expert, and I'm not an expert, but you know what I'm saying. Argument from authority. I'm not trying to do that. But one of the rules of interpretation in Roberts is if something of a lesser degree is prohibited, everything that's greater than that is also prohibited. So some people will say the bylaws don't say we can't put another candidate on the ballot. It says you can't endorse them, which is a lesser action. So everything greater than that is thereby prohibited. A lot of people know enough to be dangerous. They know enough to be stupid. You know, I've done that a lot. You learn a little bit of knowledge and you go walking around like, you know, and then someone knocks you down and you realize, you know, really how dumb you were. But that's not the only bylaw that's super important here. I believe it's 5.1, but it might be 5.2, where it says that state affiliates are chartered by the national party. The word charter means something. It means that you're creating, and I know state parties don't like this, so I'm going to tell them, grab your blankie or whatever it is that you need to deal with what I'm going to say next. State parties are subordinate units of the national party. Now, they are subordinate units with large amounts of autonomy, way more than most national ones. But that autonomy is not unlimited. Where the national bylaws speak, the subordinate unit cannot do things contrary to that. And our national bylaws don't speak in that many areas that affect state affiliates. But that is one of them. But even more so, the national party has reserved to itself the nomination of presidential and vice presidential candidates. It's not Article 10, which is conventions, but I think it immediately follows that. But it says presidential and vice presidential, which means that state parties do not get to nominate on their own. As a condition of affiliation, you agree to that process, which is via national convention. There's one obscure way that candidates can be chosen as well. Say, God forbid, like I'm super, this is real wood desk. Say your candidates got in a plane crash and they both perished. The national committee could appoint replacements. So there are rare circumstances where the national committee can appoint, but that is the only two ways that there are nominees for Libertarian president and vice president. That is at convention or via an action of the LNC, not a state committee. Just not. And this is so basic that when people are like, well, it doesn't say this 10,000 word thing. Meanwhile, they complain the bylaws are too long. But if we got what they wanted, it'd be like 10,000 pages long. I go, it also doesn't tell you to breathe. You know, I mean, really.
Right.
Now, Colorado's bylaws are longer than the national ones. I think they're about 21 pages long. And there, it's expressly prohibited in much stronger language. It says that the state party, its officers shall not either individually as a group in their official capacity endorse. And again, remember, if something of a lesser thing is prohibited, and I didn't include even this argument in my appeal because I had to write it so quickly, it says they shall only endorse Libertarian Party nominees. Well, guess who our Libertarian Party nominees are? Chase Oliver,
right,
and Mike Turmott. And you don't have to like it.
Yeah, there's, and actually, yeah, you forwarded this to me, and I thank you for it ahead of time to prep a little bit. But yeah, so this is the first page of your appeal that you filed.
I'm going to do a supplement with that lesser greater thing, because I better write a note because I'm old. Because that's actually, it's an argument I just forgot to make, and it's actually quite a powerful one.
Because I read through it and really, if the age of Trump has taught us anything, it's that we can never assume that things that are in place truly are in place. Right. So,
I think we learned that with Clinton. It depends upon what the word is.
You're absolutely correct. I don't know the average age of my audience, so I stuck with Trump. Yeah. But you're right, though. You're absolutely right. And I didn't mean to pin it on Trump. It goes back to just about every administration.
Well, politicians, right?
Yeah.
You know, God created Satan, and then he created politicians.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right, because what I was thinking of is, like, first of all, the lesser greater thing, I think, is just follows logically, right?
Common sense, right.
Common sense. But I could also, I think, if I had my friend Daniel Schmutter here, who's a libertarian lawyer of the first degree, he might argue that that placing a person on your ballot to be nominated and to be voted on as a member of your party is a form of endorsement.
Of course it is.
They actually
say in their press release that they endorse them as well. So there's no question. And then when they got pushback, they're trying to retcon it and say, yeah, but they're, you know, everyone's seen the memo floating around. I'm not going to opine upon it. It's a legal matter with the LNC, not saying anything about irregularities that are alleged. Again, no comment. The fact is, even if that were true, the only body that could correct that is the LNC. They could look at it, say, we agree, and then take care of business. It still doesn't become the authority of any state party board.
Yeah. And you know, again, you kind of swim through a lot of this on X. And it's astonishing how sometimes like some of the takes you see that you wonder sometimes, how can people arrive at this take, you know? And one of the takes I've heard, it's like, well, they have the, meaning LPCO, has the right to put whoever they want on the ticket because, and then they'll list all of the things that they disagree with Chase Oliver on. You know, well, he can be replaced because he's a groomer. He can be replaced because he really isn't our candidate. He can be replaced because blah, 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 blah. And that's utter nonsense, obviously. And it's also important to note that for people who are potentially hating on you for taking the stand you've taken, Chase Oliver was never your guy, just on a personal level, right?
Well, and let's make this clear. So I don't dislike Chase. I know Chase personally. I think he's a good man. I disagree with the same positions that Colorado disagrees with him on. This is what's so funny. I did not vote for Chase. On the seventh round, I was part of the no to 300. But guess what? Chase also didn't vote for me as secretary, but we both have honored the process. He recognizes me, even though I was not his choice, as the legitimate Libertarian Party secretary, and I recognize him because I'm not forced to be in this party. I'm not forced to accept this position of honor, and it is a position of honor to be an officer of the party. If I felt I couldn't fulfill my duties, I should do the honorable thing and resign. If the LPCO board thinks that they cannot, in their own conscience, support Chase, I can respect that, do the honorable thing and resign, and have people take those positions who can. Right. There's no shame in that.
For instance,
once Colorado did this and I realized how at odds I was with them, I had a position of honor in the LPCO. I was chair of their judicial committee. I valued and prized that position, but I resigned the next day because it was the right thing to do. I knew I was going to be in opposition to them.
Right.
And I couldn't, in good faith and integrity, maintain that position. Because you want to know what I could do? I know people are going, no, you quit because you wanted to file an appeal. You don't think I have friends that I could have ghost writ that for? But it wouldn't have been the honorable thing to do.
And I think people are not really appreciating the position you're in. Like, again, this is someone that you personally do not align with politically. But as you said, you have a position of duty, that at times without naming names, I feel certain people do not kind of honor that, and they'll take whatever duties they have and they do get, shaped by their personal positions on specific issues. So, I just want to say, I do respect your integrity in that way because, following the whole nomination process, you know, it's obvious that you and Chase were not aligned. And certainly on some positions, I saw you really lay down some arguments against some of his positions. Which is fine. That's what debate is about. Mm-hmm. That's why people come to a convention and they hash it out. So I do appreciate what you're saying. But let me ask you this. So to me, it just seems fairly evident to me that you can't just swap out a candidate off a state ballot just because you don't agree to them or agree with the ticket.
Right. Now, and listen, Chase is okay. And obviously I have very sharp disagreements with him, but it's only on certain issues.
Right.
If I were to do it in a scale, but I know for some people they'll go that issue's a deal breaker. I get it. If you're just a regular member, then you don't vote for him. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I will encourage you to vote for the Libertarian Party ticket. But if you're a leader, you have different fiduciary obligations. But if you're just going to, you know, weigh who's more, you know, aligned with libertarian ideals, right, RFK isn't even in the same, like, galaxy.
I agree.
And
I agree.
He had a, you know, they go with, you know, well, Chase had this socially distanced Thanksgiving. Listen, you don't, like, I was sharing something private with you before about, and I don't mind saying it publicly, where I had been the victim of some pretty severe stalking incidents that have made me very, like, when I get a bad feeling, I like cut them off. We don't know if Chase, and I'm not going to, I don't know anything about his personal life, but for all we know, he could have immunocompromised friends, something could have happened. We don't know his reasons. I didn't agree with that socially distancing stuff. I was out at the Capitol with a plague doctor mask on with a sign that said, you know, report your neighbors, call 1-800, I'm a Nazi. So I obviously disagree, but I also know that people are imprinted with things from their past, that it's very hard to always judge why somebody does something. Why am I such a loud mouth? Like, whatever, people are like, oh my God, I'll tell you why. And people wouldn't know this. I used to be married to a police officer. I came from a very high control church, very Christian fundamentalist. So for a good deal of my life, I was told to be quiet, be submissive. Women don't talk. They're seen but not heard. So that obviously has created an imprint on me that when someone tells me to be quiet or shut up, just something rises up in me that I can't help because I'm damaged. That damaged you. All of us come with these damages in our life. So I'm very cautious to judge people. I haven't walked in their shoes.
Yeah. And actually, just FYI, when we interviewed Chase, I had the opportunity to interview him like a long form for a couple of hours. And one of the reasons he did go along with the mask and everything is his, I believe he said his mom was immunocompromised at one point. So that's why he decided, for better or for worse, to just follow that mandate. But he was always against he was always against the government forcing you to wear a mask or to take the vaccine. I don't think his position's ever changed on that. But that aside, what I did want to point out is that for anybody who thinks that the Colorado position you've taken on the issue is because you're somehow aligning with Chase or you don't agree, that has nothing to do with it. And it also has nothing to do with the great debate about whether or not RFK and Trump should have been invited to speak at our national convention and a lot of, I think the California State Convention, they were invited, right? So it doesn't even have anything to do with that, whether it was a decent political strategy or anything. To me, it's fairly black and white. Like when you read these bylaws, I don't think anyone comes away with the impression that like, hey, states have the right. Like, hey, so then what's the point? Like just on a practical level, why would any candidate choose to canvass the U.S. as, by the way, Chase was the only one, I believe, who went to all 50 states to campaign. Why would any candidate put that kind of sweat equity into the process when at a whim, any state with LP ballot access can just throw them off? Like, I would think twice about it for future nominees. It seems to me like as a organization, you're shooting yourself in the foot. If, to your point, if of all people, libertarians can't be expected to abide by voluntary agreements. So
it's mask off in a way, because let me tell you a heart to heart I had with Chase right after he was nominated. Because, again, I've always liked him personally, but he knew I wasn't going to vote for him. Right. And I knew he wasn't going to vote for me. But we had mutual respect as colleagues. I urged him to stick to things, and I think he's tried. And I don't mean that, like, that sounded almost condescending. I didn't mean it that way. To stick to things that unite us, such as being anti-war. Because all I heard for the past 2 years is that's our issue. Well, RFK isn't completely anti-war. Chase is. That's one thing I don't think anyone can accuse him of being weak on. He right. is absolutely anti-war. So were we not telling the truth before that anti-war is our issue? You know, it to me, I'll tell you what I quoted. Crap, I don't remember if I think it was Denver Post. They're like, no, it might have been Colorado Public Radio. What's your statement? Why did they do this? And I'll tell you why. I'm quoted in it. Craven opportunism. Simple as that. This is not a principled decision. It's not you're fighting the man and we don't like the nominee. And no, they think they're going to get a lot of money and exposure. That's exactly what it is. And there is one noble goal, perhaps, that to break the stranglehold of the legacy parties. But you want to know what? That's not a principle of ours. Our principles are in the statement of principles. So I wish RFK all the luck in the world doing that as an independent. And I can tell you, I think less of him for this regard. I view him in this situation like a homewrecker. He knows that he is causing untold havoc in the Libertarian Party of Colorado, and he is using us. Now, they're letting themselves be used, so I'm not absolving our board of responsibility, but just like, you know, when a woman of loose morals goes, you know, and disrupts a happy home, yeah, the husband's not faultless. But she's not either. And he knows what he's doing. And after November, he's going to go on his merry way. Meanwhile, those of us here in Colorado, and I'll end up getting a little emotional. I'm a very emotional person. The chair of Colorado is a good woman. She's doing a wrong thing. Good people do bad things with the best intentions sometimes. But she and I were close. I loved her like a sister.
I'm sorry, is that Hannah?
Hannah.
Yeah, okay. Hannah Goodman, right? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, RFK comes in here. He has broken up close friendships. He has turned party people against each other. And in December, he's going to be somewhere else, and we're going to be picking up the pieces in Colorado. And that's just not right when you know you're doing that. That is not a good or moral thing to do. So in that respect, I think less of him. But in general, let's put that aside. As a Democrat, I know right now technically he's not, but let's be real. If the Democratic Convention could find some way around the rules and buy off the right politicians for the right laws, and they offered him the nomination, he would take it in a second and drop Colorado like a hot potato.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. If they manage to get Biden off the ticket,
right,
and it somehow becomes a brokered convention, RFK has populist support, so it would make. And honestly, he'd be an idiot not to take that. So
he would be, and I actually would like to see that.
Yeah,
for the Democrats.
Right, it's a chaos. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Karen, and I'm sorry, let me just bring up a comment here from...
sure, and I'm not yours. Seeing any of them for some reason. I don't know if it's... Normally, I know I can. I don't know if it's... It's okay. I don't need to. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, that's weird. I don't know. Can you see it now on the screen?
Yes, I can. Linda?
Linda, yes. She says, Ms. Harlow's, how is the Colorado situation different than that in Montana, New Hampshire, and Idaho? I'm assuming she means those are the... states that said they will not be placing.
Yeah, I understand the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, first of all, please call me Karen Ann. Okay. I don't. Ms. Harlow's is for meetings, and I hear Nick Sarwark's voice in my head. Yes, oh my Ms. Harlow's. First of all, it's different because it's my state. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. One reason I am so passionately invested in this is I've given my blood, sweat, and tears for this party. It's my state. And the whole reason I joined the LNC, I've been on the LNC a long time now in 2016. We're going on 8 years I've been on the LNC. And I joined the LNC initially to protect Colorado. I have a passion for Colorado that I don't think I can even express, that the loyalty that I have to my state and to my party. But New Hampshire is putting him on the ballot. There is nothing right. You can morally think they're doing something wrong by saying they don't support him, but they haven't thrown support behind somebody else. So you might think it's tasteless, but they haven't broken any bylaws. Idaho doesn't belong in this category. One board member in Idaho expressed their personal opinion, and that's all that was. And he will tell you that's Matt Lowlesby, and he'll tell you that's all that was. Montana so far has refused to put him on the ballot. That is wrong, but is nowhere near as wrong as what Colorado is doing. I do not agree with what Montana is doing. There's people like their chair there is phenomenal, Sid Dowd. I hope they reconsider and change their mind. And I'll give them a selfish reason too. The way delegates are selected to the national convention, and this is what's so dumb with Colorado, it's like looking at your foot, shooting it, and going, oh, look, there's another one. Yeah, and shooting that one too. Right. Your delegate allocations are determined in part by the number of national members you have in your state, but the other part of the equation is the percentage of the national vote that the Libertarian Party ticket got in your state. Colorado just pissed away, unless, you know, he's on the ballot, which I'm doing everything in my power that I'm allowed to do to have him on the ballot. But if not, they're going to lose 30% of their delegates. So you don't like the way the last convention handled things? Well, way to make sure you have less votes at the next one. Even just selfishly, they should put him on the ballot.
Right.
And they go, well, it's just 30-40%. No, you're not getting it. The states that you don't agree with, and I don't want to name any because I'm not trying to pit states. Anyone who knows the party can figure it out. They're going to have a higher percentage of the national vote because you allegedly abstained. So way to send more people that you don't agree with. It is just like monumentally idiotic.
Right, right. And that's why at times I just wonder why things get done. I mean, sometimes, especially in politics, you might take an action just for the sake of taking the action and taking a stand and making a statement. And I can get that, but not within the framework of contractual agreements, right? Right. So it's one thing for, like, to do what you did, like say, I resign because this is wrong. I don't want to be party to this. So I'm resigning because, like you said, no one's forcing you to be there. Right. So and you're trying to attack. I see that to me is taking a stand, making a statement, political, personal, or otherwise. But and correct me if I'm wrong, but watching the live stream, I don't think a single Colorado delegate cast a vote for RFK to begin with. Right?
Zero. Excuse me if I get a bit, you know, political wonk. There were 7 rounds of voting because we use what's called an exhaustive ballot, which means we go round after round. It's almost, well, it's not really like RCB, but the simultaneous rounds is. So if someone doesn't get a majority, we require a true majority, then a certain number of the lowest candidates are dropped. We move to a second round and we keep doing that and whittling it down till someone or NOTA gets a majority. RFK Jr. was eliminated on the first round out of 7 on the first round with 2.07% of the votes. He got a total of 19 votes out of 900 and something votes. I can't remember the exact total, but it was between, I think probably around 920, and 0 of them came from Colorado. On the first round, the candidate that got the most votes in Colorado, if they were going to be principled and say they're representing Colorado delegates, it would have been Toad. Toad got the most number of votes. After that, it was Michael Rechtenwald. And after that, it was Chase Oliver. Chase Oliver did not get 0 votes in Colorado. He got 1 less vote than Michael Rechtenwald did. I have no shame in Colorado. Also, we don't have secret ballots. We're the only state that doesn't. So anyone can know my votes because they're public in Colorado. I voted for Michael Rechtenwald every single round, except for the last one when I voted NOTA. But I'm not a, listen, I'm not a, I don't want to even say sore loser. I didn't have to be there. I didn't have to participate. It's not like the government where you've got a gun to your head, right, proverbially, half the time. So, like, I would truly respect this board if they don't like the rules that we're under to go start their own, or say we're going to follow the rules, but we're planning for next convention and we're going to change them. Like, in a weird way, oh my God, I'm going to throw up in my mouth and saying this. In a really weird way, I respect Gavin Newsom. Oh my God, I just want to slit my throat. But he doesn't like the Second Amendment. So he's advocating for a constitutional convention to change it. Now, I'm not a constitutionalist at all. You know I'm a hardcore anarchist. But at least I respect that he sees, he understands that it says something that he doesn't like, so he's working to change it.
Right.
God, now I just really want to die. I'm going to have to drink after this and take a shower.
I was going to say, have the Listerine ready for when the show
is. Yeah, my God. No. But it was an analogy that I think people can understand.
No. I see what you're saying. Like, but let me ask you this, though. Colorado, for whatever reason, like, I don't want to throw any unfounded allegations or speculation out there, but let's just say for reasons of their own.
Oh, you misspelled my name.
Oh, did I? Oh my goodness. I will take that off of there. I apologize.
I just noticed.
And I will correct it while we're talking. I will go straight to Twitter and get it from there. But
yeah, well, it's my whole name, just whatever. Follow me for spicy tweets, because my Twitter is indeed, if you don't like spicy and profanity, don't follow my Twitter.
But
I'm making up for lost time as a fundamentalist. Okay.
That's okay. That's okay. You can do that. So I'm going to ask you a question, and then while you're answering, I'll change your name and make sure it's spelled correctly.
Okay.
But let me ask you this now, from the Colorado point of view. Now, we said, like, they seem to be in violation of two sets of bylaws.
Yes.
Their own state bylaws, and as well as the LP national bylaws. So we kind of understand that if Colorado came to this decision, and by Colorado, I mean the LPCO leadership.
Yes.
They came to this decision for whatever reason. So they're going to fight tooth and nail because they're committed now. Right. But from the LP national perspective, is this something that requires a positive action on their part to get their candidates on the ticket from a procedural point of view? For example, is it a matter of, hey, we have to take you to court? We have some sort of judicial committee review that you have to abide by. Is it a matter of censure? Is it a matter of disaffiliation? Like, what is the procedural process here that if the LP or the LNC, I'm not sure what phrase to use there, maybe the LNC says, LNC. Hey, yeah, if the LNC says, hey, look, bylaws are bylaws. You guys have to put our candidates on your ballot. What recourse do they have as an organization? I hate to use this word with another libertarian, especially an anarchist, but to force them or compel them to live up to their agreement and put Chase and Termott on the ballot.
First, I want to ask you a question. Can you hear a bunch of noise in the background here?
I do not.
Okay, good. Because my husband, for some reason, decides when I'm on air that it's just the perfect time to flush the toilet and use the sink. I'm in the basement. As long as you guys can't hear it. First of all, on the legal front, I cannot make any kind of comments like that. For obvious, you know, legal stuff, I just can't. And I don't think anyone has any kind of stomach for that anyway. It maybe in Colorado, but not from the national level. You switched it. So I'm not homos. You can call me a homos, I guess.
Oh, but Harlos. Listen, what an idiot I am. So, Karen Ann, feel free to refer to me as big dope.
I just thought it was funny. So, Karen Ann Harlos, it's cool. Everyone messes up my first name all the time. Usually not the last name, because I get Carolyn.
I know. I know someone who's a Hormoz in my personal life. Their surname is Hormoz, and I guess that's what was playing. I apologize.
Yeah, that's fine.
I apologize profusely, but yes, go ahead.
No need. So nationally, there's nothing in our bylaws that requires us to take action. So it's very discretionary to the LP. But would disaffiliation be justified? Because it says in the bylaws for cause. So did Colorado give cause? Clearly they gave cause. There's no motion on the LNC to disaffiliate Colorado. Will there be in the future? I don't know. I'll tell you from my, I can't speak again for the party, but for me as an LNC member, I wouldn't be inclined to do that. And I'll tell you why now. I'm not saying a month from now, because members here in Colorado still have other recourse. Disaffiliating an affiliate because there's a rogue board, and make no doubt about it, that's what they are, is like burning your rental property down because you don't like the tenants who are going to move out next year anyway, because most of this board's term is up in March, which means members can take it into their own hands if they don't like the board and vote them out. Or vote them back in, whatever it might be. There's also some legal recourses we have. Colorado is a nonprofit corporation. I'm not an attorney. And even in my paralegal work, I do not know that much about nonprofit law. But as citizens, we're supposed to be able to read the law and at least somewhat understand it. It seems to me that there is a provision where if members wanted to, they could go to court and seek a court-ordered special convention. I do not know if enough members want to do that because there's a certain minimum number. So as an LNC member, I would say members have other recourse. We shouldn't burn the house down. Let's see if they can handle it themselves first. But let me tell you now, this is from a Colorado member's perspective. I can see the trajectory. I've been in this. This isn't my first rodeo. They already got very, very footsie with the Republican Party here earlier. It was late last year, earlier this year. They initially broke their bylaws. Back then, they still had a little common sense. I went to them privately and I'm like, look, you're over the line. Let me tell you how to fix it. Even though I didn't agree with their decision,
right?
They listened to me and they fixed it. However, once you start testing the line, and if you way cross the line and get over it and get away with it, you're just going to keep going. So if this board, in my opinion, just gets away scot-free, members don't do something, they don't vote them out, whatever it might be, I predict that next year they're just going to start openly endorsing Republicans. And that is just absolutely unacceptable. And so there might not be any appetite to disaffiliate right now, but there might be if they start doing that. And I know some people might go, yeah, well, can't the board just disaffiliate from the national party? No, they actually can't. But they've already proven they don't care about bylaws. They can't because the bylaws gives that power only to the delegates at convention. But they've already broken all the rest of their bylaws. If they pull something like that, members will definitely take them to court because it's taking away their party that, you know, I know they like to mock. You guys haven't done anything in 50 years. Some people who are in this movement act like the party sprang into existence when they joined and have no idea of the history. There was public comment that when are you guys going to do complainers going to show up to town councils and do this and do that? And it was so offensive. This person that said this is a fantastic activist. They do the work, not taking away from them, but holy shit. I'm sorry. Am I allowed to curse on your?
That's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I sued the state of Colorado in 2016 and won. I've run a full town council race. I've run multiple races. They weren't full races, but like to act like no one else has done anything is beyond arrogant. None of them sued the Secretary of State and the district attorney and won. I did. And I'm not saying that to put down other people. Everyone has their talents. Some people are behind the scenes.
Sure.
And you'll never hear of them. And they are the unsung heroes of the party. So I don't believe that you should raise yourself up by putting other people down. And that was offensive. And the executive director of Colorado basically very arrogantly said, this isn't a quote, but it's the translation. We don't really care what the bylaws say because everyone else here was useless and irrelevant. And we're just going to do whatever it is we have to do or we want to do to be, quote unquote, relevant. Well, that's not your choice to make. The party does not belong to you. It belongs to all of the members. And the way I said it to him, I go, you see that asshole over there? He's still a party member. You don't have to like him. He still has rights and he's still a party member. And I want to make sure you get in all of your questions because you know I have an LNC meeting after this.
Yes. So
they're going to try to sell the party to RFK, in my opinion. So I have to open the door early.
Okay. Yeah. And I have my eye on the clock because you did mention a hard stop for me. So I appreciate that.
And I do have to open the Zoom room. So my hard stop's probably a few minutes before that.
Fair enough. Sylvia is in the comments. Sylvia.
Sylvia's a good friend of mine.
Arrowwood, yes. And she says, thanks for clearing the air and stepping up. And yes, thank you for clearing the air and stepping up, Karen Ann. Absolutely. Sylvia echoes my sentiments on that. So let me also kind of throw a little bit of a curveball at you because I do want to, because you are on sort of like limited time here. You also announced, and the reason I bring this up is because I've seen other people announce something similar, is that you've left the Mises Caucus.
Yes.
Now, you have left the Mises Caucus, correct?
Yes, but I am not anti-Mises. I want to make that clear.
Right. I was going to say, your sentiment.
On my end,
Each
individual member can feel differently. It was an amicable split. It was over this Colorado situation. The leadership did not endorse it, but they wouldn't condemn it. And that was unacceptable to me because I fought a lot of battles with the Mises Caucus against actions that I thought were bad actors in state parties. And I always was willing to do that because I felt we were the people who followed the rules. And the minute we're not those people, I can't hang around. My prized possession is my integrity. And I will not let that be tainted by anyone. So I'm not making any kinds of claims that they did wrong or whatever. We just don't agree. And rather than being a force of disunity and rancor and just yelling at everybody because I'm very passionate, I left. That, again, is like me resigning from the Colorado JC. It was the honorable thing to do. But I mean them no ill will, and I wish them no ill will. We just aren't on the same path anymore. But anyone who seeks to use me as some kind of anti-Mises defector, no. And they're not the only caucus I left. Now, I haven't officially resigned from the Radical Caucus, but I'm not, because I'm not that involved to begin with, but I'm not going to renew. I want to be a free agent again. I just want to not be associated. I want to wish them all well and be on my own.
And I was going to say, the reason I brought it up, thank you for that, by the way, but the reason I brought it up also is because I saw a lot of tweets that were very much along the line of A, your statement on why you were leaving the Mises Caucus. And also, like, I'll bring this up. Samuel Bowler, I hope I'm pronouncing the gentleman's name correctly.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, and he said, with a heavy heart, I announced my decision to step away from the Mises Caucus. That his choice came out. It was, very difficult. And then at the bottom, he says, however, recent events have led me to recognize a divergence in our paths forward. Specifically, the situation in Colorado has highlighted for me a difference in vision that I cannot overlook. And I think that also speaks to what you just said. And he, for people that didn't recognize the name right away, Samuel is the LP of the Alabama state affiliate, right? So they're losing.
He's the state chair.
He's the state chair. So he's actually leaving the Mises Caucus. Well, and I've seen, I'm not going to say hundreds, but I've seen several of these types of announcements, enough to catch my eye at least. So that's very interesting. I want to get to the questions before you have to leave, Karen Ann.
And just one comment is all of them have been of that tone. It's not rancor. It's not wishing them ill will. It's just that we are on different paths.
You disagree on strategy is a polite way of putting it. Right. Jack Gannon wants to know, Karen Ann, is the proposed joint fundraising venture between Kennedy and the LP just for Colorado or not?
Well, Colorado allegedly is worked out something with the Kennedy campaign, but the one that's going to be heard tonight is for the whole party. Oh. It's the national party. And I am, listen, there could be something said by the chair tonight that is so mind blowing that I didn't consider that my mind could be changed. I doubt it, but anybody who says their mind can never be changed, there's a problem. So I am going to listen with an open mind. However, my position right now, not knowing more, is the same position I had when I got asked by a reporter what it would take for me to vote for Trump. And I said, I'd rather eat my own foot out of a bear trap. I feel the same way about this with the information that I have now, which is very little. I know what everyone else here knows, is the motion from the chair, which is public.
Okay, fair enough. William, as a conservative, we don't want too many of those in here, but okay. As a conservative who was born and raised in a different country, comes from a fundamentalist household and served, honor and integrity is important to me. I applaud you for doing what's right. So you have a conservative fan there, Karen Ann, it looks like. So thank you, William, for that comment. So Karen Ann, I, like I said, I want to give you enough time to set up for your LNC meeting. So let's just wrap it up. I'm going to pop up your correct spelling of your name and your handle. So is there anything you'd like to end up with? Any plugs you'd like to give or any final statements before we let you go?
Yeah, certainly. And if you had more questions and you ever wanted to have me on again, just ask. I'm more than willing to do it. I do appreciate the follows on Twitter, but I also have a YouTube channel itself. I used to do a lot of LP stuff on it. I don't really do that so much anymore. I do a lot of commentary. I did a 2-hour analysis of the recent Trump the immunity thing, because I do have the paralegal background. So my YouTube channel is Pink Flame of Liberty, and I would appreciate a subscribe. It's very niche, but, you know, we have a good time. So as you can tell, I have a professional studio here.
Yes, you do. And we were talking before we went live, and we said, what a cool studio. I like that setup. If I were you, I would consider adopting or trademarking Libertarian Firebrand, which is how we tag this show. But given that bright hair color of yours and your affinity for that bright pink, I think that might be an appropriate moniker for you. Everyone, Karen Ann Harlos, hopefully we've made a friend who would be willing to come back and talk to us again in the future. Karen Ann, thank you so much for joining us. Go to that meeting and let's see if they can change your mind.
Yeah, I know I'm not going to change their mind. but yeah. It'll be interesting. If anyone who's looking to go, you better register. You have to register for the meeting, because otherwise we just get spam bots galore. It's on the LNC business list. So, we'll see, or it'll be posted on our YouTube channel. And, I expect it to pass, unfortunately. And I've said this publicly, if my mind's not changed, which I'm open to it, and it passes, I fully intend upon filing an appeal with the National Judicial Committee, because I believe it will be a violation of our bylaws. So if you were a delegate in D.C., because I have to turn that in with a petition of delegates, get in touch with me if you wish to sign an appeal petition. I need about 100 people. So I think I have them already, because this is not a popular decision. But if you'd like to, shoot me a direct message on Twitter or email me at KarenAnnHarlos@gmail.com. Do not use my official party email. all of these actions are me as an individual, and I'm not involving official party email addresses or property in any of this.
All right. That is fantastic. Karen Ann, we wish you well in your efforts. And certainly you have ally, and you have at least one ally here. If you
I appreciate
it. So have a good evening. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully we'll see you again on Free for All.
All right. You have an awesome night.
You too, Karen Ann. Bye-bye. So that was Karen Ann Harlos. She's the secretary of the Libertarian Party. She's on the LNC as well. And what's interesting there is that, you know, it was interesting reaching out to her for this, episode, because like I mentioned, she and I do not see eye to eye on, candidates throughout the whole nomination process for the Libertarians. I've made it known I'm not an anarchist. I'm not an ANCAP. I understand and appreciate a lot of their positions. But myself, I'm somewhere on the scale between a classical liberal and a minarchist. I'm not a Ron Paul guy. I'm a Milton Friedman guy. I've always said that. Karen Ann is definitely not that. I said this to her, and I do mean it. I appreciated the fact that she was able to understand what her responsibility and what her fiduciary duties are. And I think she is trying to execute those duties and responsibilities the best way she knows. And speaking for myself, what Colorado has done is complete nonsense, and it's dishonorable. I don't like for libertarians. One of the core premises that libertarians have is that we believe in voluntary agreements. We believe in contract law and tort law. And for a state affiliate to have a written agreement with the national party and blatantly flaunt that and not expect consequences, to me, is unfathomable. I don't understand how they think this is in any way representative of the people of Colorado. Again, none of the delegates voted for RFK at all. And you heard Karen Ann say, it's public record, the top vote getter for Colorado amongst the Colorado delegates was Toad, a guy who showed up to a libertarian debate barefoot, and wearing a baseball jersey. Okay. Clearly that's a protest vote. That's a, I don't give a shit vote. So is Colorado extending position to its ballot? It might, but they don't have the right to do that according to the agreements, that the state affiliate, the conditions under which they became a state affiliate with the national party. Okay. If there's any more questions out there, please feel free to put them in the chat, whether you're on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, or X. Please feel free to ask some questions. Linda has a question here. We didn't get to it. It says, where does the national chair stand toward you, considering her post and stance on Chase Oliver? Yeah. Interestingly, Linda, I don't think, Karen Ann would have answered that, because that would have involved, her non-public dealings with, Angela McArdle, the chair. And speaking for myself, like Angela McArdle, in my opinion, and I'm making this very clear, it's in my opinion, is a bit of an autocrat. You know, she rules with an iron fist. I think I had one tweet at her. She blocked me. So I can't see her tweets on my timeline. She won't respond to anything that I have to say to her or about her. But when I look at the LNC, something's got to give, because much like Karen Ann said, she resigned from the Mises Caucus. the state chair of the Alabama LP, he resigned from the Mises Caucus. Anecdotally, I've seen about a dozen or so people on Twitter say, hey, we're leaving the Mises Caucus as well. In another note, we're starting to see some shenanigans taking place internally on that LNC. For example, Michael Heiss, who used to be, I believe, on the National Committee and also involved with the state part, the state affiliate of New Hampshire, and basically he was the one behind the Rechtenwald, the effort to get Rechtenwald along with McCardle. To get Rechtenwald to be the nominee, which he almost succeeded at. And he was an architect or one of the architects of the Reno takeover in 2022. Well, he, you know, after the national convention this year, when his candidate didn't come out on top, he kind of announced he's stepping away. And I think some folks at Freedom Fest, which is going on concurrently right now, they were tweeting out photos of his business cards that he was handing out, that now he's a paid consultant by the National Party, which is kind of, I'm not going to say illegal or immoral, you know, that those would not be the words I would use. But it has an air of the dirtiness that supposedly, principled libertarians would have told you, ick, that's something reserved for the duopoly. That's something reserved for the uniparty. And we're seeing it now. We're starting to see cracks of that, right? We're seeing, and again, I'm not saying this never existed under any other LNC version of the LNC, you know, Sarwark or anybody else, because to be frank, I wasn't involved that deeply in Libertarian Party politics where I would have been aware of any of that stuff. So certainly if there's someone out there that says, hey, Big John, you're kind of sleeping at the wheel here because Sarwark and his crew were alleged to have done XYZ. Fair enough. But what I'm saying is I'm seeing this now. All right. And this is kind of weird. There were also these allegations about some other people who were paid as consultants that perhaps might have been cases of nepotism, perhaps may have had undue favoritism involved. So to see this again, you know, reasonable people would wonder. And again, when you see that the LNC right now is trying to jointly fundraise with the candidate of a different political party, you have to wonder what the hell is going on here. Now, to Karen Ann's point, she's going in. She's going to try to convince him otherwise. She'll probably vote against the motion. But like she said, odds are it'll pass. But that, and why wouldn't it pass? Something like 14 of the 17 leadership positions are all McCardle handpicked people, right? They're all, the vice chair is not a Mises guy, but just about everybody else on that leadership national committee, Libertarian National Committee, is a McCardle acolyte. So of course, when the motion gets put forth to them, you know, she'll keep them all in line. The question is, what will this do to the National Party? They've been bleeding donors. They've been bleeding money. They've been bleeding memberships. Ballot access. At one point, the Libertarian Party had 50 state ballot access. I read somewhere that it's down to 36. Forgive me if I don't have the latest number there, but I believe it's down to 36. And one could argue it's because your leadership is spending a lot more time focused on whether Trump can get elected, whether RFK can be on the ballot as a libertarian. Maybe we're spending as a party way too much time giving way too much of whatever publicity we can gather up and giving it away to the likes of Trump and RFK. One might also wonder if you're the Libertarian Party and you're stated to be against the uniparty and against the duopoly, why the almost laser focus on Joe Biden and the Democrats? Okay. we could ask all those questions. What's going on with leadership? What is its, what are its actual goals? I don't know. I'm just saying, certainly for a political outsider like myself, I have to wonder what's going on. Perception is reality, as my partner here at Grumblings Media likes to say. Perception is reality. And the perception now is that the Libertarian Party on the national level is for sale. That's the perception right now. The perception is, if you've got enough bucks, hey, come on in. You're RFK, you're Cornel West, you're Jill Stein, maybe. Come on in. Maybe there's a, maybe there's an LP state affiliate that'll sell its ballot access to you. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe that's what we need to figure out. Well, if that's the case, very simple question. If you're going to be this Republican adjacent, if you're going to be this conservative, if you're going to be this right wing, if you're only going to accept candidates that fit a very specific profile from among your varied base of supporters, then why not just sell out to the highest bidder? Just literally put it up for sale. Like, hey, Trump, you're a billionaire. Your big daddy pockets here. Why don't you come by, buy out all the state access? That way you're guaranteed, right? Because in 2020, we know Trump was very upset that in battleground states, which he lost to Biden, the spread between Trump and Biden, or Biden and Trump, was the Libertarian candidate. It was Joe Jorgensen. So, hey, Big Daddy, why don't you, we're up for sale now. That seems to be the message that's coming out of National. Hey, we're for sale now. For sale, sign up. We'll take cash, checks, credit cards, anything. We'll even take bullshit promises. You know, like we'll put a Libertarian in my cabinet. We'll take those as payment as well. Anyway, so that's it for this episode of Free for All. I want to thank my guest, Karen Ann Holmos, who had to cut it just a little bit short because, as she said during the thing, during the interview earlier, she had to attend this meeting of the Libertarian National Committee where they will be, I think, voting on the motion to jointly fundraise with the RFK campaign. So we'll see how that, we'll see what the results of that are. It's on a public server. You can find the information out there, but we'll find out the results, and maybe it'll be the basis of next week's Free for All. Okay, until then, this has been Big John. Join us once again next week for another episode of Free for All. You can find Free for All on our past episodes right here at Grumblings Media. Go to grumblingsmedia.com, where we have all sorts of great content, not just libertarian content, but also we have sports-related content. We have two great podcasts, Buzzer Beaters, The Blind Side Blitz. We've also got some conservative content. We have our Red, White, and Rude show, which goes into pop culture and anti-woke positions on entertainment. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff. We even got our attempts at comedy. Go check out our Not Joe Rogan podcast. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that we're trying to get accomplished here. Please smash the subscribe button. But until next time, this has been Big John. Peace out and have yourselves a great weekend.